Good morning. It seems like not so long ago that I was just here. Feels remarkably like a Thursday today. But there's no weekend tomorrow. So, are you ready for another AFCO student? That was half-hearted, but I'll give them to you anyway. Edmund Gibbs, one of our AFCO students and soon-to-be graduates, unless something goes terribly wrong, is here to share a message with you. Edmund, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. Let's just start with a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come before your presence, and we thank you for another day of life. Lord, I just wanted to thank you for the opportunity to come and share what you've done for me in my life, Lord. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock, my strength, and my Redeemer. Hide me behind your cross that they may see you and not me. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at me. I am a testimony. I didn't make it here on my own, and I'm not standing here alone. For it was Jesus who gave me this opportunity. So look at me. I am a testimony. That is a song that I grew up with in my Baptist church when I was growing up. And, you know, you sing a song over and over again and you never quite understand what it means until you actually live it. So when you go through life and you have an experience, a deliverance experience, God shows you that you really are a testimony, a walking example of what Christ can do in someone's life. So I want to start off with the title of my testimony. It's called Destined to be an Adventist. If you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to Jeremiah 1:5. Very familiar scripture, Jeremiah 1:5. So when we look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Let's say, I could say that I come from a humble beginning. I am the only child, only surviving child of a young minister and a young mother who split when I was 5 years old. So I can say that I am a preacher's kid, but didn't really have to deal with all the things that most preacher kids deal with. But I grew up in a very loving and very Bible and Christ-filled home. My grandmother and my grandfather were founding members of the church that we attended, Second Missionary Baptist Church in Indio, California. Everybody in my family was involved in church. And when I say involved, I mean involved. When 95% of the church congregation is related to you, you're involved. So I'll give you a little bit of my background. When I was growing up in church, I was a member of the usher board, which my grandmother was the president of. I sang in four choirs. I directed three of them. I was assistant drummer in my church. I was very well involved in the youth department there. Never actually taught Sunday school, but was never late to Sunday school. When your house and your grandmother's house is less than 100 meters from the church, you have no excuse. So let's just say I was involved. But I learned the lesson that you can be in church and be involved and be doing a lot of things and still not have a connection and relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's a sad thing because I see it even in our ranks. I see many a young person at these churches who are in class, teaching Bible studies, doing all this stuff, yet you can see in their daily walk that there is no connection with Christ at all. It's just out of obligation. So growing up, I'm going to go to scripture to illustrate this. If you can turn with me to Proverbs 23:13. This became a very familiar scripture in my home. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. This is also known as the very famous spare the rod, spoil the child. Yes. And I must say there was ample discipline in my home. Let's just put it this way. We sit around to this day, and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and our whole entire conversation is all the whoopings we got. I mean, it goes back. The Lord brings back to our remembrance all those things, and we feel like the young Israelites who were traveling through the desert, where the Lord had to impose certain punishments upon his children so that they would understand the intrinsic effects of their actions. You know, you're running up and down a sidewalk, and they go, if you continue to run, you're going to fall and hurt yourself. If you continue to run, I'm going to give you something to cry about. That was my family. But it was done out of love. It was always done out of love. And see, I've had conversations with people, and they're like, well, you know, corporal punishment should never be done. I said, I've seen the flip side of it. I've seen the kids in my neighborhood who did not get it, who had loving parents who did not show that love and that discipline to them and set those boundaries. And I see where they are and where I am. And I thank God and I thank my mom and my grandmother every time I see them for every butt whooping I got. So it was a good thing. It was a good thing. Let's go to Psalms 100. Book of Psalms, right before the book of Proverbs. Very familiar. Very familiar scripture here. Psalms 100. And this one I think we should all read together. If you have the King James Version, say amen. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth through all generations. Now, this scripture basically tells you what I did from 4 all the way till I got into college. I am a singer. I have always been into music. My life was completely centered around music. When you grow up with a family of singers, and we had a little small family choir that we would go out to our cousins and my uncle's church and sing, you know, and my grandfather came into the church eventually and he would sing with us. I mean, we had a lot of fun, and when people can start singing and everybody just starts harmonizing, it's a beautiful thing. You know, you hear a great choir and you go, wow, I can't wait to hear the heavenly choir. I want to hear those kind of harmonies. But just good music always filled me up. So growing up, I was in marching band and drama, and I was in the arts. So I did a lot of singing, and I got accepted into UC Irvine as a trombone, jazz trombone major. And I switched to vocal performance in the middle of that. So my thing was, I wanted to be a musician, a scholar and a musician, you know, because that's what, you really can't do much with music unless you make it big. So I had a group called CVT. It stood for Covert, and it was an R&B hip-hop group, and we had gotten pretty good. We had A&R people from different record companies looking at us. And, you know, there was our ups and our downs. And, like, right before we were getting serious about it, there was a tear in our group, and I lost that. I lost the opportunity to go there. So I'm going to skip back and give you a little bit of background of tragedy before the fall. My senior year in high school, I'm getting prepared to go to college, pursue this music, pursue a music career, and I had a tragedy happen in my family. My father was murdered. January 3rd, 1997, and my father and I have the first and same last name. So imagine waking up in the morning and hearing on the radio Edmund Gibbs murdered during the night. All morning. I show up late to class, and I'm riding my bike to school, and I walked into a classroom of crying students. Everybody thought it was me. No one knew that my father and I had the same last name. So I'm walking in and going, why is everybody crying? I mean, it was, I'm like, didn't see my father since I was five, didn't really have a relationship with him, but didn't know how to deal with it. So I'm like, why is everybody crying? And I had, and I think she was about 70, 75 at the time, my psychology teacher jumped a desk to grab me and hold me in her arms. And, you know, but not having a relationship with Christ, growing up in the church, but not having that relationship didn't prepare me for something like that. So I went into college and became the partier. Always looking for somebody to hold, always looking for something to deaden the pain of something that I didn't know how to deal with. So as I'm going through life, that was my MO. I was the life of the party. I was the person that could outdrink you. I was the guy that would sing whatever song that you would ask him to sing. I was a walking jukebox. And that was my life. That was my niche. But God really wasn't there. I still did Bible study. I occasionally would pop open my Bible. I even went to an Impact conference and did a little bit of Bible work out there in Atlanta. And, you know, thought maybe, you know, something will spark. But never really quite got there. But if you would turn with me to Proverbs 22:6, this verse is my saving grace. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As I said before, I grew up in a good God-fearing home. So I just needed a catalyst, something to bring me out of that, you know, because it had gotten so bad now. Here I am, out of college, my music career is done, and I'm standing there trying to figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I've worked every job, I'm a jack of all trades, you know, but I'm broke because of my partying. I'm selling cocaine to pay my rent. I have an $800 habit of my own that I'm supporting. My life is in the bottom. I'm at the bottom. And then on top of that, I get a phone call while I'm standing at work. And my mom says, oh, just wanted to let you know, I have breast cancer. I'm going in for treatment. Have you ever had your heart just fall out of your body, sit on the floor, and just people walk over it? That's where I was at. Lost my father, tragically. Now I'm about to lose my mother. But this verse saved me, because I had to go back to what I had been taught. And that was, when something bad happens in your life, you pray. You get on your knees and you pray. And it was the miracle that that God worked in my mom's life that I'm standing here today. I moved back in with my mom, started going back to church with her. And she went to the doctor. And she came back to church one Sunday. It was like 2 weeks later. And she's in tears. She goes up during the altar call and she's in tears. And she stands up in front of the congregation of her church and says, 2 weeks ago, I went into the doctor and had an MRI. And they found a lump in my breast the size of a golf ball. But 2 weeks later, she went back in and they could not find it. Completely gone. My mom went through 16 weeks of chemo to shut a doctor up. Because he kept saying, oh, there might be a little trace here. There might be a little trace here. She's like, okay, I'll go through it. But I already know my doctor has healed me. So after having something like that happen in your life, to see a miracle happen in the life of somebody else, I'm thinking, wait a second. There has got to be something better than this. Something better. So turn with me right now to Jeremiah 29:11. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And in my side notes, that says a future and a hope. I want to thank God right here, right now, to say that you all are a part and a representative of the ministry that gave me hope. And I thank you. I relish the opportunity to come and let you know that your work that you're doing here is not in vain. It's not. I started going to church via satellite. And when you go to church via satellite, there's a lot of different ministries, a lot of different pastors out there teaching a lot of different things. But because of the Amazing Facts broadcast coming on and seeing this little bald Jewish guy on TV who every time he spoke made me pick up my Bible because I'm going, hey, I've been a Baptist my whole life. I pretty much know the Bible in and out. And this stuff I've never seen or heard before. So I went through it. Every day I watched it. I got back to work. I got online. I joined the Bible Universe online Bible study. I went through the historicals and I went through the study guides. All of them. One by one, at 11 to 7 p.m. at my job at the hotel. And at every altar call, I'm standing in front of my desk, head bowed, while guests are walking through the lobby. Didn't matter. The Lord had my heart. He had my heart, and He wanted everything for me. So I come to the lesson on the Sabbath. And it's a Friday evening coming into Saturday morning. I've been working graveyard. And I'm like, Lord, I know it's time. I need to go to a church. I need to get back in. I need to go to a church that teaches what you've been teaching me. So I type in Seventh-day Adventist Church, and the first church that pops up is Palm Desert Oasis, which literally is one block right around the corner. I'm like, well, I have no excuse. I gotta go. I show up. And it just, a calm came over me. There was no fear. There was no, am I worthy to come in here? No. Just go. Went up, was greeted by the pastor's wife, taken into my first Sabbath school class. Oh, what a joy. Because my Sabbath school class is a little different than most Sabbath school class that most people go to. Ours is a very ministry-driven, Bible-based Sabbath school. We have a prayer ministry where we write the names of all our prayer requests and we pray individually every Sabbath for all the prayer requests we bring in. We have a money ministry where we do as the disciples did. We gather our funds together, and if somebody needs something or we see a need that we can meet financially that the Lord has put on our hearts, we do it. You know, we have a social ministry where we try to gather people together. We have a visitor's luncheon every Sabbath so that we can bring our visitors in and let them show them that we care. And we also have a time ministry where we go out and we try to help members of our community, members of our church with moves, things that we can do. So I am set. Here I am. I'm in a perfect Sabbath school class for somebody who is just coming into the faith and is on fire for God. So that was a good thing for me. But getting back to the title of my testimony, Destined to be an Adventist. On the shelf, right there as I walked in, I saw a book. It had a picture on it, and it was a picture that, as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. It was a copy of the book Steps to Christ. And the Lord started bringing back to my remembrance where I had seen that picture of Jesus knocking on the window of the UN. That same book, when I was about 10 years old, was sitting on the vestibule on a counter in my Baptist church. Not only that, as clear as you sitting in front of me, I saw in my mind's eye that same book sitting on the shelf in the house that I grew up in. So here I am with this book, and I pick it up and I look at it, and I said, I know this book. And they look at me and say, you know that book? I said, yeah. He said, have you read it? No, but I guess I will. So this was October 10th, 2009. My mother's birthday. I took that book home. At the time, I was living with my roommate. I know I'm a little bit over time, so if you have to leave, by all means. I was there with my roommate who I was selling drugs with, and it got to the point where now the Lord has got my heart. I'm going to church, but I'm still smoking a pack a day. I'm still at the bars drinking every night, and I'm reading all this material and trying to do Bible study, but still trying to live the life of the world. And it got to a point, it was October 26, 2009, where I was 6 o'clock in the morning, I was high, I was smoking cigarettes in my house, which I never did. I have a fifth of vodka in my hand, and I'm trying to do Bible study. And a very audible voice in my head said, will you look at yourself? Look at yourself right now. This is not good. You cannot serve me and serve the world at the same time. You have to make a choice. So that day, I got on my knees in tears. And I gave it to Christ. I gave it to God. I said, Jesus, you have to take it all away. All of it. I can't do step here or step there. It has to be all gone today. Because if it wasn't, I was going to continue this lifestyle and I was eventually going to kill myself. That's where I was headed. I was not satisfied with anything that was going on. So I can say that on October 26, 2011 was my second year of complete sobriety. I haven't touched a thing. Haven't gone to a meeting, haven't done all these steps. My steps was Word of God, go to church, and pray. And that's what I've been doing. And here I am, standing before you. An AFCO student, soon to be AFCO graduate, if nothing goes wrong. Hopefully I get a good grade on this assignment. So, but the Lord has a plan for all of us. No matter how big or how small it may seem, He has a plan. And everybody here has their different jobs, different functions, and you work together with God for products like me. I am the product of your hard work. I am the product of your prayers. I am the product of your sacrifices. And I thank God for you all. For you all. I just want to end real quick with one scripture. It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. It reads, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I want to leave that scripture with you. Today, the Lord is with you. And he's with you always. Just like me, you are all testimonies. You didn't make it here on your own, and you're not standing or sitting there alone. It is Jesus Christ who gave you all this opportunity. So look at yourselves. You are a testimony. And bow your heads in a word of prayer. Father God, oh, it is a privilege to come before you. For you breathed the universe into being. You spoke it, and it was so. You are God, and there is no other beside you. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your work. We praise you and bless your name. I ask that you go with us today. Send your spirit through all who are in this room and all who are working here today, Father. I pray that blessings will fall at your name. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Have a great week.